Dr. Putnam, welcome to Midday Magazine. In researching this very interesting book, what is the biggest thing that surprised you?
We find, to our surprise, that there's not a growing opportunity gap between rich kids and poor kids, kids coming from relatively affluent homes and kids coming from relatively poor homes. There's always been something of a gap like this, but what shocked us was how widespread was the evidence that this gap is rapidly growing in terms of the stability of families, in terms of the amount of time and money that parents can invest in kids, in terms of the quality of schools that rich kids and poor kids attend, in terms of their test scores, the amount of education they complete, the amount of support, mentoring, and community support they get from their religious communities and other community organizations. Rich kids are doing great in America today, and by rich kids, I don't mean just Bill Gates' kids. I mean my own grandchildren. They're doing fine, but kids coming from what we used to call the working class are definitely not doing fine, and the degree to which that gap is grown in just a few decades was shocking.
It's always been part of the great American narrative, at least post-World War II, and probably well before that, that you work hard, your kids will go further than you, and what you're finding out is not so much anymore.
That's correct. And it has multiple causes. It's partly because of the economic income gap that you referred to in your opening remarks. It's partly because of the growing segregation between rich enclaves and poor enclaves in America, so that we're no longer living around people who are different from us. I'm not just talking racially. I'm talking in terms of social class. But the underlying factor is that we have become much more self-centered, all of us. When I was growing up in the 1950s and my parents talked about doing things for our kids, let's pay higher taxes so that our kids can have a swimming pool, they did not need a swimming pool in our own backyard for my sister and me. They were talking about helping all the kids in town to get access to a swimming pool or a good schools or whatever. But over the last 30 or 40 years, the meaning of the term, our kids, has shriveled. So now when people talk about doing things for our kids, they mean their own biological kids. And those other kids, they're somebody else's kids. Let them worry about them. That shrinking of our sense of community, of our sense of responsibility for all the kids in town, that's the underlying cause here.
Certainly, post-Depression and post-World War II, there were obvious economic reasons why things were on the upswing. Are we seeing now the tail end of a transition from an industrial economy?
Yeah, that's part of the story. But, economics is not destiny. That is to say, there have been previous periods in our history in which we've gone through great economic transformations that have led to income inequality and the turmoil that you're talking about. But then, and I'm thinking about the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century, the last so-called Gilded Age, at that time, Americans gradually realized what the economic transition was doing to our communities. And without foregoing the benefits of the automobile or the telephone or the railroad or whatever, we began to invest more in everybody's kids. So, for example, in about 1910, across America, Americans invented the high school, the free public secondary education, first time in the world. And that set us on a path for most of the 20th century where all the kids in town were able to benefit, and the whole country benefited from the fact that we were helping everybody to reach their full potential. And that's what I'm suggesting we need to do again now.
We're joined today by Dr. Robert D. Putnam, whose book, Our Kids, The American Dream in Crisis, is a good read. He'll be hosting a forum this afternoon at the University at Albany of Public Health. When you discuss this, what sort of a solution do you have to this?
Well, and at the risk of sounding like a name dropper, I've also discussed this book not only with community groups and students, as I will be doing this afternoon in New York. I've also discussed it with many of the major candidates for president on both sides of the aisle this year, and I've spent several hours talking with President Obama about it. So this is an issue, I think, that cuts across party lines. It's an issue that in which the real obstacle is not the policy wonkery. The real obstacle is getting Americans once again to focus on helping all the kids in town. The kinds of solutions involve some big things like investing in early childhood education and early childhood development for all kids. We know that that works. We know that it would be, you have to have high quality early childhood education, and that's expensive, but that the returns, the economic returns as well as the moral returns, you might say, are quite high. So that is something that would work. We know we need to invest more in incomes that serve mostly low-income populations, and we need to do things on the other end of the education system, like improving not just access to community colleges, but getting through community colleges. The dropout rate nationwide for community colleges is about 70%. That's the real problem, getting kids through community college, not just getting them in the door, but getting them to get their degree. And then there are smaller things that would add up. We need to worry about providing more mentoring for poor kids and for their parents. We need, for example, there's a growing gap between rich kids and poor kids in taking part in extracurricular activities like band and chorus and soccer and so on. Poor kids are increasingly excluded from those activities by pay-to-play policies, and that's simply wrong. And that means that they lack the opportunities for developing soft skills and teamwork and so on, teamwork skills that affluent kids are enjoying to the full. So there are things we can do in our own communities. For example, ending pay-to-play or providing more mentoring support for poor kids through religious organizations or other community organizations.
Robert Putnam's book is Our Kids, The American Dream in Crisis. The forum is this afternoon at the UAlbany School of Public Health, George Education Center Auditorium in Rensselaer, New York. Bob, you picked a real nice day to come to our region. Enjoy the area, and thanks for being on Midday Magazine today.